Imagine 50 years of thinking and writing about food. Books, articles, lectures, classes. Now imagine boiling that all down to a single volume. At nearly 90, the esteemed food historian Betty Fussell has done just that and done it so well in her book, Eat, Live, Love, Die. Betty talked with our contributor, Shauna Seifer, an award-winning writer herself, from Betty's home in Santa Barbara.
Well, hi, Betty. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
I'm delighted to be here, believe me.
Well, I have to say, when I first found out I'd be speaking with you, I didn't even know where to begin. It's a little bit like maybe asking Queen Elizabeth about her decorating plans for the palace.
Queen Elizabeth and I are of similar age.
Well, from that comes an incredibly rich life. And so it's a little difficult to know where to begin. And then I realized maybe you had similar feelings in trying to distill 50 years of writing down into one volume of essays. How did you even begin to choose what to include in a book like this?
Well, you're absolutely right that selection is the hardest of all things. And I look back at the 50 years and I think, what was most important? And for me, the underlying sense is what food is and what it means, but, you know, that's abstract. I have been so lucky to have lived long enough to I can look back and say, oh my gosh, I've been here, I've been there, I have been alive when the whole food revolution began, the American food revolution, and it's the American food culture that is my passion.
And why do you think it is that food is such a powerful lens through which to examine our lives?
Because to eat is to live, and to live is to die. So, you know, the whole enchilada is embedded in our daily need, the requirement to eat. All critters eat. The first connection is baby says, feed me, and there's milk and there's mama. That's how we learn about other people. That's how we learn about the outside. So to eat is to know. And because I'm at the end of my life, I can look back and say, oh my God, the narrative is clearer and clearer. And every bite I eat, every meal I make, has the whole cycle in it. That is enormously exciting.
And I guess that brings you to the perfect title, the Eat, Live, Love, Die. It's just, it's all there.
And to my opening essay, Eating My Words, you know, what food is. It's not just substance. It's not just a thing. It is always a symbol. It is always an image. And to eat anything is an adventure, whether it's the thing you've eaten your entire life or whether it's eating bugs in Australia, trying that out. How's that? Oops. Or an essay of mine that I love called On Murdering Eels and Laundering Swine. Mm-hmm. It's killing a live eel in my New York apartment and cleaning pig's guts to make chitlins. Okay, part of the world's standard foods. You learn a lot about food by doing it.
And you come back to that idea so many times throughout the book, the connection of language and eating, feeding and speaking, the mouth being used as a way to explore and interpret the world around us at the same time. That seems to be a central philosophy in a lot of your work.
It absolutely is, because food in the 20th century got swallowed up by nutrition, diet and health, by its chemical ingredients. And that is the least, what you eat is the least of it. In the 50s and 60s, really, when food became more abundant after the Depression and the abstinence of World War II, food becomes demonized. No fat, no salt, no butter. Or you're gonna get fat, you're gonna get disease. And the fear, to make food fearful, is criminal. So I'm trying to rescue food from the nutritionists and the whole industry of diet and health to say, no, there is no magic bullet. It is all here now. Food inevitably leads to dying because living leads to dying. And therefore, look at it all now. Look at the whole. And you don't get distracted by things that are not important. So my whole thing is to look at the foods. You know, look at oysters. Look at Jell-O, processed foods. What does it mean? What is it about? you get this great hodgepodge here that you get no place else in the world.
And really what you just said, I think, describes what you do so perfectly. You really are the quintessential American food writer, that so much of what you do is focused on America and the way we eat, the history of our food. It's such a unique position that you've taken.
It never seems so to me, because I didn't begin with food. I began with, because I'm really a theater nut, meaning as a baby, I'm a movie nut. So that means pop culture is deep in my heart. And who invented movies, or who really created movies most, is the American culture. And I am created by that. So my first section is cultures, because I realize how embedded in my culture I am. My second section is people. The people I've been lucky enough to know are the great English pioneer Elizabeth David, and then our own great pioneers, M.F.K. Fisher and Julia Child, of course. And here I am. I live in Santa Barbara at the place that she ended up, Casa Durinda, but I knew her well in the East. And James Beard, whom I lived one block from in New York City. Alice Waters, whom I met 30 years ago when she was just starting. And then I've been so lucky to write profiles on people like Edna Lewis, a wonderful Afro-American from Virginia, Marcus Samuelson from Ethiopia, Jean-Georges von Gerichten, our four-star Count of Cuisine from Alsace. All of these people come to America and cook and write and explore for us the whole rest of the cultures of all the countries in the world.
And you write about all of these people in your book and use them as sort of a way to demonstrate further this idea of American cooking and cuisine.
Well, this is the advantage of the periods I have grown up with, two revolutions. One, the revolution in travel. In the 50s, you know, travel became an industry and it didn't cost anything. We could travel everywhere. So I have eventually gone around the world to all these different countries, and I found that the great universal language was food. You didn't need anything. You didn't have to know Chinese to go to China and connect. And this was a revelation to me. So that's when I really started writing. And I found that I didn't have to go abroad to discover. I could discover at home with what I'd been doing as a housewife and mother for a good decade. I had been cooking in the kitchen, because that's where I belonged, you know. And I was very excited with feminism and all that, but I never wanted to give up the kitchen. No, I love the kitchen. I love the daily process of participating, and that's where I can explore the most. But I want to communicate that exploration, so I want to write.
Now, how do you see the future of food writing? Is it something that you think much about? Do you have any opinions on what you'd like to see more of or less of in this food media world that's always changing?
I'm simply dazzled and full of wonder and admiration at the digital revolution that is engulfing us all. So the iCloud world of food, what is that going to be like? I mean, we are millions of people who can connect every second, every day. What that's going to do, I have no idea in terms of food, except it certainly changes perception, because it changes our attention span, our sense of time. There is, you know, it eradicates place. We're all these little motes floating around in the iCloud. And yet, we are all subject to the same condition of change and cyclic change, which means life and death of the mote. And it's going to change into little blogs and Twitters and Snapchats and equal time with images. I love that. It's a mosaic. It's a mosaic that upsets, in a way, the formality of a splendid table and makes the table really accessible to every person in the world at the same time. That's an astonishing thing.
It is a long, endless table, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Betty. It's been a privilege and a pleasure to speak with you.
Shauna, the pleasure and privilege is mine entirely, and thank you.
Betty Fussell's latest book is Eat, Live, Love, Die. Shauna Seaver is author of Real Sweet, and she writes the Next Door Baker blog.